Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If there's one common thread, it might be that men perceive church as too feminine.
We have to be aggressive in the world when it's appropriate. We are warriors.
1, 2, 3. Warriors!
You are a real man when you commit to study God's word and you commit to being conformed and transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. That's the biblical perspective on being a man.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And away we go.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here. Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. So grateful that you send stuff to idea@wretched.org. That would include questions, comments, conundrums, snarks, corrections, should that day ever arrive, or stories, sermons, articles, anything wretched, send it to idea@wretched.org.
I heard you had to work last week.
I did.
Was that hard on you?
Oh, well, this is now I feel like I'm at the beach like you were last week. I don't have to read anything.
Yeah.
My life is hard. I'll be honest with you. I'm just trying to recall the last time I had to lift something heavier than my glasses. So I really should have absolutely no complaints about what I get to do here. Idea@wretched.org.
All right. This one comes from Molly. It's a really good question, and I'm also really interested in your answer to this. Mr. Friel, is there an age a parent should stop physically spanking their children?
Yes. Yeah. I think that there is. I think that there comes a time when it becomes actually counterproductive, and you need to make that decision. There are, however, other ways that you can inflict a reminder that there is a consequence for sin. You use other resources, pull things away, don't allow them to, remove privileges. There's a couple of reasons why I think that spanking has an expiration date. Number one, the counterproductivity of it. Number two, it is a little bit odd. It becomes a little bit weird as a child becomes a teenager to do those things. And so for those reasons, I would say pick a time when you say, look, that's going to be the end of it. But then don't think that you don't have anything in your arsenal to help the child understand if I do things that are sinful, I'm going to feel that sting. That sting just needs to come in a different form than a belt or a wooden spoon. You okay with that, Jimmy? You think keep doing it till they're what, 18?
35.
35. Why not? That's when they're moving out of home and getting married. So
that's right.
I guess if they're in your house, knock yourself out. Idea@wretched.org.
Okay, this one comes from Lee, who says she has a family member who has hurt her repeatedly over the years, and she doesn't see any end in sight unless he gets right with God. She thinks she's forgiven him for his past wrongs, but there are wrongs that continue to happen even every week that still provoke anger and sadness in her. So she avoids him as much as possible, and she wonders if that means she hasn't really forgiven him.
Well, it could be, but sometimes it's hard to move past the hurt when wounds keep getting inflicted. So I don't know that I would be hypercritical of myself in this situation, but I would suggest some things that you could do to grow. Number one, always keep yourself safe. And number two, please note that if somebody will never stop, to separate from them is not a sin. To remove yourself from a hostile, aggressive environment, that's just self-protection, which is just fine biblically. So don't think that you should be exposing yourself to painful things regularly. Now, having said that, number three, I might suggest you do a deeper dive on the study of forgiveness. What did Jesus ask us to do? What does that actually look like? Does it mean I forgive and forget? Well, sort of yes, sort of no. You definitely forgive. You don't keep bringing it up, but you are going to be reminded of it if it keeps happening. And that's why I don't think you should really be too hypercritical about yourself in this situation, because I think that's just pretty natural and human. But the more you study forgiveness, and that would include recognizing how much you have been forgiven, it will be easier to forgive. And number four, I would suggest, go to the Google machine, type in biblical counseling. Do not type in Christian counseling. Biblical counseling, comma, root of bitterness. And go read biblical, not Christian, biblical counseling articles on a root of bitterness, because you don't want that. You don't want this horrid, acidic root to make its way into your hearts, because it grabs a hold of it and it is very difficult to uproot. This is not an easy one. And if you don't mortify this, if this is starting to develop, you're going to be altered, and it won't be for the better. It will be something that causes you to be robbed of joy, to be gracious to people, to have patience with others, long suffering. All of it will diminish if you don't uproot that root of bitterness. Perhaps one of these days we will discuss that in more detail. I do believe, however, we did tackle that in an episode of Transformed, our biblical counseling show. You can find that at wretched.org. Please send questions, comments, conundrums, snarks to idea@wretched.org.
All right. This one comes from Bill, who says, Todd, I'm a Christian minister and was recently approached by my youngest daughter to perform her marriage ceremony.
Sweet.
Yeah, normally that would be an awesome request, but the problem is she's gay.
Oh, boy.
And when I told her that I could not do it, she freaked out. Mm-hmm. I expect her to be a little upset and even a little mad, but the vitriol that I've received from her has broken my heart, and she actually disowned me mm-hmm. as her father and says she has disallowed me at her wedding. My pastor and I have discussed this. He says I did the right thing, but I keep praying. But I'm not sure if there's anything else that I should be doing.
Sir, you are caught in a wake, a tidal wave of an attitudinal shift that parents can just be cut off like a nobody's business. Hold on. I think I've got somewhere, maybe I thought I did here. No, I don't. I had an article from, you ready for this, Jimmy? The New York Times.
Mm.
Found an editorial. It was about Father's Day. And this woman was talking about her dad and how her dad always was getting involved with other family members, would go to a visit, would fly across the country to go to the funeral of a second cousin. Family, family, family. And this young lady didn't buy in. And so she didn't visit. She didn't call. She didn't make an effort when she was in family members' town. And this individual who was writing this, I guess it was an opinion piece for the New York Times on Pops Day, finally learned when dad died, wait a second, I have been putting self first and not commitments and family first. My desires, that's preeminent. And if you, mom and dad, get in the way of my desires, I'm cutting you out because I'm the most important thing. And I thought that was a pretty good job of describing what is going on in our current culture. You have got autonomous selves everywhere. And if you get in the way of that, no, then you're going to be killed. That's James 4, 1 through 2. Why? What is the source of your quarrels and arguments? Is it not the desires in your members? What will happen is somebody has a desire, they gotta have it. And if you get in the way, they'll murder and kill you. Now, thankfully, his daughter isn't doing that physically, but she is doing that in a degree in that it is still the same consequence. I want you out of my life. All right, fine. I don't want you 6 feet under, but I don't want to see you. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to deal with you. That is a massive trend these days. And this is why I think the local church needs to, as often as possible, be encouraging parents to be great parents, but to encourage the kids that they do have great parents. We were in a restaurant, and the table next to me, I couldn't help but watch it. These people, I'm telling you, it was child abuse. I was watching child abuse because they didn't give the kid a cell phone. He had to sit there and read a book. I don't know what sort of wicked sadists these parents are. I was enjoying it so much. It's like, oh, and then grandma was there and she's reading the book. And I just keep thinking about that insurance commercial, the guy who instructs young people how to not become their parents. I wanted to say, hey, Pop, keep it up. Well done, sir. I wanted to do that. I wish I had, but it just never quite, they never really made eye contact for that to not be really weird and intrusive. But I do believe we should be doing that in the church, because this fellow is experiencing, I think, a cultural rash. And that is separating from people, including parents, who get in my way of doing what I want. Furthermore, Jesus warned this would happen. It would be father against daughter. It would be husband against wife. Now, we don't do things just to agitate so we can separate. But if we are holding the moral line, we do it as lovingly as we can. We need to accept these things are going to happen. Sir, might I suggest this? Try to win her as if you were trying to win a spouse. Do all of the things that you can do to reflect the love that you have for your daughter. She might reject it. She might throw the flowers in the garbage. Whatever it is that you choose to do, she may not ever text you back. Just keep loving and loving and loving. Don't compromise on the truth, because you did indeed do the right thing. But there are still things that you can do to try to win her relationship with you back, so that you can continue to speak into her life. And I'm sorry for your pain, sir. This is Wretched Radio.
You notice how the world feels a lot different lately? At Fortis Institute, we see it too, and we're responding with even more resources to help you stand strong. Every single day, you get fresh video content that addresses today's critical issues. You get podcasts on marriage, parenting, and theology, biblical insight from trusted voices like Pastor Brad Bigney and Dr. John Kratz, plus Gary Barbell's weekly cartoons that are funnier than any dad joke you can ever hear from me. Todd made me say that. Best of all, everything is absolutely free through our Fortis Plus app. From Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford to Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, we are equipping believers like you to thrive in this brave new world. So join thousands of Christians who are already growing stronger in their faith every single day. Just visit FortisInstitute.org or download Fortis Plus right now. Always free and always faithful to God's Word. Fortis Institute at FortisInstitute.org.
The life issue. We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds still save lives. These pregnancy centers that progressives would love to shut down or arrest people for praying in front of abortuaries, they're still doing excellent work, and babies are still being rescued. This is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? This ain't about politics. This is about saving those who are staggering to the slaughter, period. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Breaking news. In a world where biblical truth is increasingly rare, Fortis Institute is actually expanding. We're expanding our reach every single month. And get this, churches are actually getting stronger through solid biblical teaching. And here's the story. Your gift gets doubled right now through a matching grant. That means twice the impact, twice the reach, twice the transformation. Think more resources, more teaching, more churches equipped with truth that matters. We're not just maintaining around here. We're growing. More radio stations, more content, more believers getting equipped, more churches being strengthened. And unlike those clickbait headlines the world tries to feed us, this is actual verifiable impact. The fine print? Just one thing. The matching grant opportunity ends December the 31st. That's it. No complicated conditions, just a straightforward chance to double your impact. Visit FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org. Because while everybody else is backing down, we're stepping up. FortisInstitute.org.
Know your church fathers. Ambrose was the Bishop of Milan in the 4th century and one of the four original doctors of the Church. He defeated Arianism by appealing to Scripture and using well-reasoned arguments. Ambrose reminds us that a faithful teacher is a blessing to generations of Christians. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Something's on your mind. Would you please codify it and send it to idea@wretched.org? This is Wretched Radio. So grateful you send pretty much anything to idea@wretched.org.
And this one is from Kayla, who says, "Hello, Todd. Is birth control okay to use? Is it unbiblical? And what about more permanent options after you've had children?"
Okay, got both of those. All right, it depends on what it is. Number one, the first point, not the second point. The first one, it depends on what it is. I think we need to start back in the garden, and that God gave human beings a mandate to be fruitful and multiply. That is the human mandate. Does that mean every single person has to go about the business of getting married and multiply as much as they can? No, because if that were true, Jesus and Paul would be sinning, and they weren't. And so not everybody has to. There is a gift of singleness so that you can do more work for the church. So we recognize you don't have to have the maximum number of children that you possibly can. Not every family needs to be the Duggars. Having said that, we recognize that children are a huge blessing. They contribute to the planet. Was reading another article, probably New York Times, about people and how terrible human beings are because they use up so much oxygen and so many resources. That is not the Christian attitude. We love kids. So with those two thoughts in mind, I believe that every parent and every couple, rather, has the ability to make a decision for themselves how many kids they're going to have. The question then arises, if you agree with that, then the question arises, how do you do that? Well, there, of course, historically has been the rhythm method, which works to varying degrees. But we now have something called birth control, and that's where the devil is in the details, because if there is a form of birth control that stops the sperm from meeting the egg, I do not think that's a sin. Problem is, so much of it, especially the pills, it's after the sperm and the egg have joined, and then as it's making its way to the uterine wall, that wall gets compromised and it gets sloughed off, and then, of course, the life is terminated. In other words, it's an abortion in utero. So we need to make sure that if we are going to avail of ourselves of birth control, that we read the details. This is going to be one of those times where you actually do need to read the fine print, as opposed to just saying, I agree. You need to dive in and figure it out, because you don't want to be taking the life of your child. Now, what about after you think that you've had enough kids? You've decided no more kids. I would say, before I even tell you what I think about those procedures, be really careful, be really slow, because that's a huge decision. Don't make that one quickly because it was just a hard delivery or it was this kid is driving you nuts. Be careful because you might make a really bad decision that is very difficult to undo, if not impossible. Do I think it's a sin to have one of those procedures done? I don't. Because again, I do think that a couple does have the right to make those decisions. With that being said, be careful as you navigate through this, that you are not taking God's place, that you aren't being the decider of life, that you aren't the one who has put the cap on your family. In other words, pray for wisdom, read what the Bible has to say about this, get godly counsel, recognize that you do have liberty, consider all of these issues, make a decision, and I don't think you're sinning if you have a procedure that keeps you from having children in the future, both male and female. idea@wretched.org.
All right, this one comes from Joe. Must we regard the pastor's wife as the first lady of the church?
Well, I go to my Bible and I don't see that title. Where did that come from? Probably 20th century title, most likely from that tends to be a title that gets used a lot in black churches. I hate using that term, but that's the best we've got to describe a group of people. that utilize the term first lady. Do I think it's a sin to do that? No. Do I think it's fraught with danger? Yeah, I do. Because why is she the first lady? By virtue of being married to the pastor, does she now have an office? Does she have authority? Does she receive more privilege? Does she get a parking place? Now, you can honor her in your church, and I think we should most certainly, but I think that title, which is really a 20th century and certainly not biblical invention, is not ideal. I do know of one pastor who is rock solid, and that he's pastor and she's first lady. He's not a heretic. I think that I understand what would motivate that, but because it's not biblical, because I think of the implications, I just don't think it's the best title to be using at all. Idea at wretched.org.
All right, this one's a, I think, a two-parter here. I think he's looking for two answers. This is from Anonymous, who says, Todd, I was wondering, how do I have conversation with random people about the gospel when I struggle with the fear of man? Mm. And also, I'm kind of lazy, and I don't know how to stop. What can I do?
Stop having a fear of man? Is that it? Well, stop being lazy and get on it. Let's just encourage you to do just that. Fear of man is a snare. It's going to keep you from growing. It's going to keep you from having joy and assurance. Always worried about what people might think. If I make a misstep, they're going to judge me and not have the same opinion of myself that I have. So I'm just not going to do anything. Don't be paralyzed, but don't be told that immediately today, effective right now, you need to be on the streets witnessing to at least 17 people today. No, that's Ray Comfort's mandate. Your mandate is to get on it and get started. How could you start overcoming these things? I think there's two ways. I think theological, and then there's also some practical things that will undergird the theological. We should have no fear of man. Our biggest fear has been resolved because of Jesus Christ. We do not fear God anymore. We do not fear damnation anymore. We do not fear judgment. We do not fear wrath. Our biggest fear problem has been solved. This is nothing. These are mere mortals. What can they do to me? Nothing. Don't fear man who can kill your body. No, fear God who can kill you and send you to hell. That's like, whoa, that's the fear. And because of Jesus Christ, we don't fear God in that servile way. Now, we still have a reverential fear, but not that trembling, I'm paralyzed by it. All gone. Now you don't need to fear human beings. So grow in that aspect. Get more and more confidence in God. Have less confidence in the flesh. And you will see your fear of man problem diminish. I would also suggest you go looking for the roots of that. What's really up? What are you afraid of? Try to dissect yourself a little bit so that you can have a theological balm to heal you from your fear of man problem. Having said that, there are practical things you can do. Do what you can do. And I think this goes for all of us, by the way. Ray Comfort, he hits the streets. He is a maniac. But Ray isn't the standard, nor am I. God gives different giftings, different situations, different skills to the body, but we should all be evangelizing. We should all be about that business, but I do think we have the liberty to define how much of that business we're doing and how we do that business. So get started. We'll send you copies of Solving the God Puzzle, absolutely free, $200 a case. And that includes shipping. You get a case, promise to give them out. We'll send them to you at no cost to you, including shipping. What could you do with them? Put them in a bill. My daughter was on a walk with the dog that needs to gain weight. It's a German Shepherd that is just not packing on the pounds like he's supposed to. Gorgeous dog. They're out walking. She took a picture of one of those free book boxes. And she said, Dad, we need to get some of your books in here. And I thought, we need to get gospel booklets in there. Put them there. Leave them on the table when you're done with your meal. Hand them to somebody walking by. Give them to a complete stranger. You just go, hey, did you get one of these? And then well, you can do that. We can all do that, can't we? No, it could be a little scary, but what will be the fruit of this? First of all, you'll be obedient to the Great Commission. Second of all, you're going to grow in confidence in the Lord. You're going to have to run to your strong tower. you are going to find yourself with knocking knees, go, I can't do this. I can't do this. Well, with the Lord's help, you most certainly can. And no, I'm not going to say you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, but he will help you overcome it. And this will actually produce more humility in you. And it will put your confidence in the right zip code, which is the heavenly address where it actually resides. And you will find yourself growing. Do it at your own pace. Maybe the next step is you get one of those telemarketers. Hey, you know what? Before you pitch me what you want to, can I pitch you something? Give me 60 seconds and share the gospel. That's safe. You could do internet evangelizing. The people get saved through some of those conversations. You could create a website. You could put up a YouTube video. Do what you can do, but by all means, do something to be obedient to the Great Commission. And don't let others judge you for not doing it exactly the way that they do it. Please send questions, comments, conundrums, snarks, articles, stories, sermons, whatever, to idea@wretched.org. This is Wretched Radio.